So I got really busy at work last night, and I forgot to record a song for us to use. My bad. So there's no intro music on this edition of the Stop Lying About Fitz podcast. I'm Brian Gibberman here with Kevin Fucking Lewis. White people. I mean, do you have to curse?
I love how you don't have a problem with the message, but what I started with—that's funny. Damn, white people. Is that better for you?
Yeah, that's fine.
Okay. Damn white people.
All right. Where do we want to start here? You know what? You can follow Kevin on Twitter, at Clue24. I don't know why you do that to yourself, but it's a thing that exists. And he put an interesting question out during the week. What do you have going there?
It was, retweet this with a sports opinion that you believe strongly in, but refuse to argue or debate about.
What was the best response you got?
Are we talking about best as far as the most thought-provoking or best as in worst?
Both.
All right. The best, as far as thought-provoking, I think the best one I got was somebody compared pitch framing to flopping. I thought that was pretty interesting. It is true, if you ask me, but I thought that was pretty. And as far as the worst one, I mean, there's so many to pick from.
That's. I get the comparison, but there's nuanced differences to it all.
Oh yeah. Of course there are, because I mean there's different types of flopping. I mean, different degrees of flopping, rather. Whereas pitch framing is kind of just okay. Well. You're trying to make a ball maybe an inch, 2 inches off the plate look like a strike. Whereas flopping, there's all different types of variety to it. But
yeah, you're not when you're flopping, you're faking something. In pitch framing, you're just trying to take it. Like I get in both, you're trying to take advantage of the umpire in a situation. That's where the comparison does stand up, but. The acts are different in a way that I'm having trouble explaining.
Yeah, but I thought it was pretty thought-provoking.
No, it is. It made me think.
The worst one, probably, well, one of two. But there's a tie. Eli Manning's a top 10 quarterback ever was one I got. And LeBron James is an average player who's just big and fast was another I got. Those are equally ridiculous. So, yeah, I think those two take the cake because, yeah, I don't know.
What was yours?
What was mine? 2009 Revis was the single best season from a cornerback that I've ever seen. I'm not willing to argue with you. Gary Sanchez could play the exact same kind of defense with, obviously, the bat. The bat being at the level it's at now for the next 5 or 6 years to be a Hall of Famer. Those are the two I had in particular. Yes, those.
So I have two. I have two local New York ones. Also, I even went and looked up statistics for this.
Oh, also, can I interject really quick with another bad one?
No,
Carmelo Anthony should have been 2013 MVP. That was awful.
Oh, but God! Like, why are people so dumb? Come on, man. Why do people gotta do that?
So bad. But yes, go ahead. Sorry.
Like you're breaking like a Melo fan, guys. Come on.
Yes, break Brian. Yes.
All right. Yes. Since we brought up Melo, I will go with my Knicks one. If. After the 2013-2014 season, after the 2012-13 season that you actually just brought up, the Knicks were an intelligent organization, identified, hey, this formula we used to win basketball games was really, really smart. We played Melo at the four. We weren't the most talented team in the world, but what we did was, we were a great defensive rebounding team, we never turned the ball over, and we forced the opponents to have more turnovers than us. So every single game we were basically playing with more possessions than the other team, and we were also shooting more threes than the other team. So we were at a mathematical advantage in every single game. And they took that formula and tried to implement it with more talented players. And in identifying that, if they would have went and instead of trading for Andrea Bargnani from the Raptors, if they would have taken that same package and offered it for Kyle Lowry before the season started, so just same trade. They just got Kyle Lowry instead of Andrea Bargnani. And by all accounts, they most likely could have done that if they wanted to. Like, they could have got him at the trade deadline. If the Knicks would have told the Raptors that they wanted Lowry and not Bargnani, I'm pretty sure that it would have happened. And I think the Knicks would have made the NBA Finals that next season, with barring stupid injuries or whatnot. Because if you go...
Drugs are bad.
If you look at... Because, no, there's a couple things you have to remember. And now we're doing exactly what you were supposed to do, not do with the question. but you got it. You have to like have a talk about it on a podcast. If you remember that 13-14 season, that was when the Heat kind of fell apart, right? They went to seven. I'm pretty sure. I'm trying to double check this. Yeah, that was when they lost. That was when they got absolutely destroyed in the finals by the Spurs, and they went to seven games, or they went to six games, with that absolutely trash Indiana team in the conference finals. That was when Indiana fell apart. And so the Pacers collapsed. That was the year the Pacers started, like, 33-5 or whatever. I'm exaggerating, but they had the absurdly good start. Then they had that picture, and everything went wrong.
Yes. Yes, the boy band.
Yeah, yes. and the Heat were on. That was their fourth straight year going to the finals. They were just gassed. And if you look at all the numbers, the lineup data from that Knicks season, whenever they played the type of lineups that they did from 13-14, they were still really, really good. Like, where I have it right here: Felton, J.R. Smith, Shumpert, Tyson Chandler, and Melo on the court together, +12 net rating. Chandler, Felton, Prigioni, Shumpert, Melo on the court together, +13 net rating. Like, everything the Knicks did from the season before still worked. Mike Woodson was just a fucking idiot. So if you replace Felton with Kyle Lowry, I think that team might have had a reasonably fair shot at making it to the NBA Finals that next season.
Wow, Kyle Lowry and Melo are going to anchor you to the finals. Okay.
Tyson Chandler, too.
Okay.
Damn straight. And JR? Yes, right. Sir. What a squad.
Okay. I believe Kyle Lowry and Carmelo beat LeBron in the playoff series when I see... Oh, wait, oh, we're not going to see it. Never mind.
All right.
Never mind.
My second. The Jets in the 09... This is going to sound so ridiculous, but... You have to remember, Sean Green as a rookie was a completely different running back than what he became in his career.
Turned out to be, yeah.
Yeah. So, if Sean Green didn't get hurt against the Colts on the first drive of the second half, the Jets would have won the AFC Championship game against the Indianapolis Colts. Because what the Jets' basic game plan in that game was... They had two plays that they had been sitting on forever. And they used those in the first half to build the lead. Then they were going to grind that game out and try and keep Peyton Manning off the field. The two plays, they finally let Brad Smith throw, and it worked.
Yes, finally. Yes, and it took the whole year.
They loved running those quick slants to Braylon Edwards. And they had been setting up a pump and go for weeks. And it hit for an 80-yard touchdown. And they took that lead. And then on the first two plays of the second half, Green popped off for 7 yards each time. And they were just going to grind that game away. But then Green got hurt, had to leave the game. In that game, Sean Green ran 10 times for 41 yards. Thomas Jones, who started off that season good And then his body just failed. He failed. And he had 16 carries for 42 yards, and the Jets couldn't run the ball. And that was what their entire second half game plan was going to be built around. And they couldn't keep Manning off the field. And Donald Strickland was also hurt. And I believe they had to go back to Lito Shepard as the second corner across from Revis. And what Garcon and Colley just went off in that game. And Reggie Wayne, he didn't kill Revis, but he definitely had some... No, he only had 3 catches for 55 yards. So I take that back. But Garcon had 11 for 151. Colley had 7 for 123. The Jets would have lost... The funny thing is, the Jets would have lost the week before against the Chargers if... Was it Schottenheimer or Turner at that point?
It was Lord.
If he that dumbass stubbornly played like a LT for 3 quarters of that game before finally spreading the Jets out, putting Sproles on the field and throwing. Because if you remember, the weakness of that Jets team was...
They didn't have speed.
The safeties could be picked.
They didn't have speed at all.
Yep, the safeties and the linebackers could be picked up, could be picked on in space. And when Strickland, Lito Shepard wasn't good, Donald Strickland was their second best corner with the Revis. So you had to attack them with anyone that wasn't defending Revis, and you could have success against them. And Turner handed the ball off to LT like 18 times for 3 yards of carry. It was just
that was such a ridiculous game.
Like the Chargers should have won that game. The Jets should have never beat the Chargers. But back to the Colts game. If Sean Green doesn't get hurt, the Jets win that game.
I honestly don't remember that much about that game. I remember three things in particular. The 2 plays you just named being one. 2, I remember saying, is this really happening after they went up 17-6?
What killed them was another thing that killed them, not scoring a touchdown after they forced the fumble.
Yes, and
they either missed the field goal or had to settle for free. I forget which one.
Yeah, happened. But the touchdown pass to Keller, and I'm like, is this happening?
That was after the Smith play.
Yeah, and then I remember Manning driving them down in like 3 plays before halftime, and they scored. I'm like, ooh, I don't think
was that the Colley touchdown or the Garcon touchdown?
I'm pretty sure it was the Colley touchdown. Yeah. I'm like, oh, I don't think we're going to win this game, man. I really don't think we're going to win this game, and then we didn't. But piggybacking off of that, another take I refuse to argue. Mark Sanchez gets the ball back one more time in the AFC title game the next year, the Jets win the Super Bowl.
My thing with that game is more the stupidity of the coaching staff than I don't want.
Oh yeah, 100%. I mean, the Jets didn't bother to show up for an entire half. Then their coaching staff screwed them at the end of that half. Then their coaching staff screwed them even more in the next half. Like, it was just a really poorly coached game on a lot of levels.
So 2 national ones. The best football team I watched in college ever and the best football team I watched in the NFL ever both lost in championship games. The Patriots team that was undefeated that lost to the Giants and the USC team that lost to Texas in the Rose Bowl.
Interesting. Can't really debate either one. I mean, the Patriots being the best team ever, that Patriots team being the best team ever. Yeah, I mean, they were. They were dropping 50 points a week, basically. Like, they were the best team ever, and then they just weren't. And the thing is, with that playoffs, I'm not going to say it was a slow death march, because that's too much, but they weren't the same in the playoffs. Like, the Jaguars gave them a good shot. The Chargers with Rivers on one knee gave them a good shot, and then the Giants finally finished the job. They weren't the same at all.
They peaked too early in the season.
They weren't the same at all.
Because you remember that at the end of the regular season, the Giants even played them well in that final
38-35 game. Yes, I remember that.
And then that USC team, they just ran into Vince Young. Apparently, whenever he played at the Rose Bowl in Pasadena, became a superhero. The season before that, they played Michigan in the Rose Bowl, and he did the same exact thing.
Vince Young's college and NFL career is such a complicated story to tell.
I mean, is it really? Jeff Fisher's stupid? Done?
Yeah, it's a little bit less complicated than I thought. Yeah, you're right. Yeah, Jeff Fisher's dumb. Yeah, and then you have a couple of the, like, when he went missing, you remember that? When he went missing?
Yeah, I felt that. Like that. I think Vince Young is one of my, is one of the biggest what-ifs for me. One, if he would have just, like, been born a couple years later. Two, if he just went to a better coaching staff that didn't have,
like, what if he got drafted by the Texans? I mean, I don't know what their coaching staff was at that time. I don't remember. But, I mean, Jeff Fisher, we know what we know about him now. Like, he's not very good.
Yeah. I would have loved to seen that dude land in a better situation. All right, let's hit some current events now. NBA draft lottery. Yeah, all right. I'm gonna be like grumpy old guy right now.
Oh Lord.
As
usual.
Growing up, they did that thing in 15 minutes at halftime. They make you sit through a goddamn hour. It is awful. I didn't even have the sound on to it yesterday because I went to the, I didn't want to be behind in case someone texted me. So in between my jobs, I went to the bar, my bar right near me to watch it, and I didn't even have sound on. But it's just so, they added a third, like, they've always, since they've been doing this show before, it's been a half hour, and they did, once the lottery part actually started, they've done two commercial breaks. They would do 14-4, and then 3-1. This year, they added a third commercial from 14-10, then they did 9-4, then they did 3-1. NBA, don't become the fucking NFL with your greedy shit. Get out of here.
Okay. Here's the thing with that. It's a lottery process. I don't even know how many commercials they took, like, during the actual process. I don't know if they went, like, 14, 13, 12, then commercial. Did they do that?
They went 14, 13, 12, 11, 10 commercial.
And then
3-1.
Okay, so they had one commercial break, like, during the actual process?
No, two. One. They used to have one, now they had two.
So how long would you say that the actual, even with the, adding the commercials, how long, the actual process of going from 14-1, how long would you say that it took? Or 16, or whatever, however many.
It's 14-1. Are you saying in real time or TV time? Like,
No, real time. I mean, real time and TV time are kind of both the same.
It took like a half hour.
Okay, and how long was the special?
An hour.
Why the fuck did you watch the first half an hour? Why?
Because I was eating food. I was hungry.
Okay, but you're mad at them because you had it on, or you were in a place with it on, and you chose to watch and get yourself agitated.
Yes.
And you're mad at the NBA because of that. That doesn't make any fucking sense. Like, the NFL is different.
No, I'm mad at them. I'm mad more about the adding the extra commercial break for an event that should take 5 seconds and turning it into 30 minutes.
But nobody forced you to watch. Nobody forced you to watch the first half of it.
Yeah, but the entire second half is still longer than it should be.
It's always been longer than it should be.
No, that's incorrect. Not when we were younger.
Okay, fine. Since we were older, it's always been, since TV became more of a thing.
And they added an extra, but they added an extra commercial break. That was nonsense.
Okay. It's not the NFL draft where they force these teams to go up with, like, a minute left to pick. And the thing is, if you tune away, you might miss a big-ass trade. See, that's different. That's fucking agitating. That's agitating. Nobody forced you to turn on that TV in the first half of that program. You knew it was going to be a waste of time, and you watched it anyway. That's your fault.
Yeah, but those boneless chicken wings I was eating while it was on was awesome.
Yeah, focus on the damn wings, not the TV.
And Sweet Tots. Do you know how good Sweet Tots are?
I've never had Sweet Tots.
Really? You're missing out.
I need to try them.
I'm not like a sweet potatoes person either. Like, I don't even like sweet potato french fries. But sweet potato tater tots are tremendous.
Okay. I must try them.
Yeah, see how it goes. You should. All right, the sweet talk really didn't get us anywhere. Let's move it along. the Suns were a fun team to get the first pick.
They were the what team?
That was out of like the choices you could have. That was a fun team to get the first pick.
Fun to who?
Just for basketball. Like they had Josh Jackson. You got Booker, who took a pretty major step forward last year. Jackson had a pretty interesting rookie season as it went. He started terribly, but he got significantly better as the year went on. And now you add Doncic or Aiden to that team, or whatever other, if they end up liking someone else more than those two guys, who knows? It's another fun team that you could add to the league that's at least interesting on the eyes.
Says the Arizona guy.
You don't think watching Devin Booker play last year was fun to watch? Like, he was pretty fucking good.
Sure. I didn't say he wasn't. He's not the issue here. Like, no, I don't think Devin Booker and Luka Doncic or whoever and nobody else is fun. No, I don't. What's fun about it? I'm trying to... Now, out of the first three... What the first three teams ended up being... Yeah, Phoenix is by far the best... as far as fun goes, because it was Phoenix, Sacramento, and who?
The Hawks.
Atlanta? Yeah, Phoenix, by far, Phoenix is the most fun of those three alternatives, but the most fun, generally, no.
What? I mean, it's better than the Magic getting that pick. It's better than the Mavs getting that pick.
The Cavs getting the damn pick is the only fun alternative here.
Yeah, I mean, out of the choices that we have that were realistic, the Suns were definitely the best team to get.
Which says everything about the draft process. The draft lottery process.
Have you watched any of these guys at all?
I don't know the first thing about Doncic or however you, I don't even know how to pronounce his name. I don't know
what Luka.
Position he plays. I don't know anything about him except his first name.
Just say Luka. That's easier.
Yeah, Luka. Yeah, I don't know anything about him. Aiden, I've watched a little bit, the bare minimum, but. Like, I see it with him. I see why people are like him a lot. And there's no way he's 19. No way. No way.
Who looked older, him or Greg Oden in college?
Oden. Like, nobody's going to beat Greg Oden in the who looked older department. No, nobody.
I like Luka more than Aiden. And I've watched both a pretty decent amount.
Okay, but Luka's a guard?
A wing.
He's a wing.
He's like a 6'6" wing.
Okay, I know you shouldn't necessarily draft based on need. I know that. I get it. But if the two prospects are close, and let's say Luka has the slight edge over Aiden, would you take Aiden simply because he's a big or no?
No. The reason... So if I'm the Suns, I'm taking Luka... And then I'm investing, I think the free agent market it's going to be easier for them to find a good big at a reasonable price than a good guard at a reasonable price. So I would get Luka, then I would go sign, the Suns' top target is going to be Capella in free agency. So
They're not getting him.
They're not, but you start there and then you keep going. Because with what this market is, they'll be able to find a good big at a cheap price at some point. Like, you start at Capella, and then you just slowly go down the list. They'll get someone eventually. While it'll be Marcus Smart is probably the guy you want if you draft Aiden, and I think he'll be much... There's not as many fallback options for them after Smart versus the fallback options if they don't get the top.
Is Smart a UFA or RFA?
Both. Him and Capella are both restricted free agents.
Okay. So I can see somebody giving him an obscene offer sheet.
He is... I don't think... You can maybe find... Like, there's obviously like the players that are so great, but out of like the role player type category, I don't think you could like build a better guard to play next to Devin Booker than Marcus Smart.
Okay, That's a good point.
Frank would be a really good guard to put next to Booker also.
Stop with the Frank Furter stuff, man. Stop it.
Stop
it.
No, fuck you.
Stop.
Do whatever I want.
Why are you cursing, Brian?
My point makes logical sense. I want a point guard that's an elite at defense that can guard the one or two to hide Booker. That's what Frank can do, just like Marcus Smart.
Oh, Frank is such a perfect Frank.
First. Like George, if George Hill still had a functioning body and wasn't 33 years old, George Hill would be a nice fit next to Devin Booker. I mean, there's a archetype of player that I want next to Booker that Frank and some other and Smart and George Hill, if he was younger and healthier. And I'm trying to think who else would be. Deontay Murray on the Spurs would be another example. There's a specific archetype of player that I would want next to Booker.
Booker took a step forward last year. We're done. I'm talking about Frank, but yeah, Booker was really good last year. I can't knock him.
And
he was wildly overrated before that, but last year he was generally good.
The Knicks didn't fall. That was nice. That was a nice change of pace.
They're picking ninth. Can't wait to see how they fuck that one up.
The Knicks' problem isn't the players they draft. It's what they do with the picks. They've actually drafted all right.
Okay, so different house, same block. Well, the players they draft are fine. They just can't develop them. Okay.
No, that's incorrect. Incorrect. That's not what I was saying. The players they draft typically work out. But they typically don't have their picks. Like, the Knicks have drafted well. It's that they don't have their picks ever. Or they stupidly trade them when they shouldn't. Like, if you look at the Knicks' draft history and the players they've taken, they actually have they do fairly decently with their picks. Like,
really low bar here, I see.
Yeah, like, Frank and Dotson were both two good picks. Hardaway at 24,
we don't know if Frank was a good pick.
I don't care. Hardaway at 24.
No,
Hardaway at 24.
I think it made sense at the time.
And it's a good pick. He's going to be a good player. He's already one of the best perimeter defenders in the league as a 19-year-old rookie. It was a good pick. Everyone can shut the fuck up. I don't care what anyone says.
But he scored 6 points a game.
I don't give a shit. It was a good pick. Tim Hardaway Jr. at 24 in the first round, even though I didn't like it at the time. That's good.
But he stinks.
No, that's incorrect. Also, good value
really?
At 24.
Really?
Yep. The Jordan Hill pick was bad, but like Gallo, Wilson Chandler, Fry, David Lee, Trevor Ariza, like they've drafted, like they're not perfect, but they've drafted reasonably well through time.
Okay, if you say so.
I do. Oh yeah, and Porzingis, they took him too.
If you say so.
But yeah, so they should be able to, and they should be able to fill a very natural hole on their roster. That we talked about this last week. Right? They're going to get Mike. They can get Mikal Bridges. They can get Miles Bridges. They can get Zaire Smith. One of those guys is going to fall right into their lap, and they're going to have another piece to this team that makes logical sense. That can guard multiple positions and has some offensive skill. So as long as they don't do something dumb, like take Colin Sexton and add another point guard to the mix, that they should be fine and headed in the right direction.
I mean, good luck with that. You guys are passionate about your Knicks.
All right, conference finals. I mean, LeBron clearly had a concussion, right?
I don't know. I'm not a doctor.
I'm not talking about how he played. I think the whole he didn't drive to the basket, like, yo, the dude scored 21 points after the first quarter. Were people expecting him to score 150 points in one game? Points.
Yeah, welcome to the talk around LeBron James.
The absurdity of people and how they were discussing him. was fucking insane last night.
It's every day. Like, what are you saying last night? Like, it's any different than any other day. Like, LeBron James is the most ridiculously discussed athlete I've ever come across.
I'm trying to go to his shot chart right now, because
LeBron didn't drive much in the second half. You're not wrong.
I remember him going to the basket at least a little bit.
He didn't drive much. He did drive some. He didn't drive much, though.
Let's see. In the third quarter, he took 3 shots in the paint, 1 at the rim. In the fourth quarter, and he didn't even play the whole fourth quarter. He made 3 baskets at the rim. So the idea that he didn't go to the basket at all in the second half, I don't think is completely true. I thought he had
more opportunities to do it that he kind of passed up on. Now, like, I was wrong, because it didn't. Like, watching the game, it certainly didn't appear that he took that many opportunities at the rim, but he did. So,
And that's not even including with the shot charts how many the potential for free throws too, because that's not showing those. So there might even be more.
Yeah. So. Yeah, I don't know if he was concussed. I mean, I thought he played fine. His defense was bad. That much I could say. But he more than did his job on the other end of the floor.
Yeah, my reasoning for thinking he had the concussion wasn't how he played once he came back in. It was how he looked after getting hit.
Yeah, that ginger ass walk back to the locker room, for example, that wasn't great. Like, yeah, they claim he had a neck strain, which is fine, but is that really supposed to limit how you walk?
And it's just how he looked. He did not look right after that.
Yeah, either way. I mean, Cleveland, I just don't understand what Tyronn Lue is trying to accomplish playing Jeff Green as much as he does.
It's like the confusing thing was he did the right thing by playing the centers, by going to Tristan and Lance Thomas, and he...
You mean Larry Nance?
Larry Nance, thank you. And then he ruined that by playing Jeff Green 28 minutes, and he was a team-high minus 17 in those 28 minutes.
Do you want to know what the offense... You know, as a matter of fact, let's play. Guess what the offensive ratings were with him on the court compared to off.
I'll go with like a 95 with him on the court and a 115 with him on the off the court.
That's cute. Oh, what did you guess for him on the court?
115. No, 95 off the court, 115 on the court.
80 on the court, 120 off of it. I mean, sorry, 80 when he was on it, and 120 when he was off of it.
He had 6 points and 5 turnovers.
Dude, he handed the ball to the Celtics players twice. Like, just gave it to him. Like, yo, here, I don't want this no more. Have it.
And I'm fairly certain what that second layup he made off the LeBron pass he traveled on to.
Oh, 100%. It was so bad. I don't know how they didn't call that. Like, maybe they just felt pity for him, but it was such a bad travel. I don't know what Tyronn Lue was doing, but I don't know why people... Like, it's impossible to discuss LeBron James nowadays. But it has been for a long time. But
Kyle Korver played 21 minutes. J.R. Smith played 27, and Jeff Green played 28.
J.R. Smith is a coward.
He likes fighting people that are on the Celtics.
He's a coward. And the thing is, he's not about that fighting life. He's not.
Are we sure about that?
He's a
coward. Are we sure J.R. would? I think J.R. would scrap.
He's a coward. Like, he's a mental midget. Okay, you know, that's not a good way to put it. Sorry. He's mentally frail. I'll put it like that. When he's not doing well, he's liable to do stupid shit.
He didn't, like, try and argue that it wasn't a dirty play after the game. He went, I deserve the flagrant. It was the right call. I get it. So at least
he pushed him out of midair. What did you expect him to say?
Come on. Do you remember LeBron? Like, for instance, LeBron in that Eastern Conference Final in the first round when he goaltended Victor Oladipo, and we all saw the video, and we all know he goaltended Victor Oladipo, and he went into his post game presser and acted like he did not goaltend
Victor Oladipo. No, he said he goaltended
it. No, he didn't. He said he didn't. No, he didn't. He said he didn't.
Yes, he did.
You're wrong.
No, I'm not.
Bring up the quotes. I guarantee he said it was a clean play.
He didn't say it was clean.
Yes, he did.
No, he didn't.
Neither of us are going to go look it up, so we can just move on.
We can stop. Yeah, we can stop.
But, yeah, like that, it just wasn't the night to be playing JR 27 minutes. Like, you have to have a trigger on him sometimes and get him out. And it wasn't, he's had moments this, he was really good against the Raptors, but he did not have it last night.
He's been bad otherwise.
They really lost the game when LeBron went for 42, 12, and 10 and hit 5 threes.
They're in trouble.
That this Celtics team is so obnoxious.
I hate it. First of all, I hate the Celtics because they're the Celtics.
They don't even have Kyrie and Gordon Hayward. Do we realize how good this team is going to be?
Trade Kyrie.
No.
Trade Kyrie, baby.
This team is going to be so good. Because you need Kyrie Kyrie is one of the... Him and LeBron are the two most valuable players in the NBA when you're playing against the Warriors.
Agreed.
Because, and we can transition this into that Rockets Warrior stuff. Yo, the noise around this series is almost as dumb as the LeBron James stuff. One, no shit the Rockets are going to ISO a lot. Two, Chris Paul and James Harden playing ISO ball against the Warriors is smart basketball because you can't turn the ball over and those two guys can score efficiently. Like, did people not watch how the Cavaliers beat the Warriors in the 2015 finals? It's because they had two individual guys who could score off the dribble and they were able to create ISOs.
Yeah.
And why do people think the Spurs went out and added LaMarcus Aldridge and Kawhi Leonard? Because you need to beat the Warriors, you need to be able to slow the game down. You need to be able to score in one-on-one situations efficiently. And you can't let them control the pace by turning the ball over. So that's how the Rockets have to win, is Chris Paul and James Harden controlling the game and scoring out of these mismatches in ISO. That's the exact game plan you should have. Can you add a little bit, maybe have them like come off some screens and do? Sure, you can add a little bit more motion, but the basic genesis of what the Rockets want to do is smart.
They didn't fucking lose the game because of their offense anyway. Their defense was awful. That's why they lost the game.
That is accurate.
The offense was fine. Like, it wasn't great by any means. And yeah, is it stagnant? Yes, this is the Rockets. First of all, they've been doing this a whole year. Second of all, like, grinding the Warriors into a slower game isn't exactly the worst idea on earth. And three, when you have exemplary offensive talents and you could afford to do that, honestly, the one problem with it is this. They can't rely on James Harden to do all of this and then tell him, yo, go guard Steph Curry. Like, yeah, and I know you really can't hide him on defense. I get that. But, like, his defense was abysmal, and I can't even really blame him for it. Because he looked like he was done. He looked like he was gassed by the fourth. Because he was taking on that heavy-ass load offensively, and he was chasing around Clay. He was chasing Steph off of picks and stuff like that. Like, that's the one problem I have with it. But, I mean, how else do you want them to play with the Warriors? What, you want them to run up and down with them? I don't understand what you want them to do. There's not enough movement. I mean, the offense wasn't the problem in the game. Clay took 18 shots. Do you want to know how many of those were contested? Four. Out of 18 shots, Clay Thompson had four shots contested. That's the problem.
Well,
part
of this also, and I think a really key point in that game, and one of the things you point to if you want to be positive about, I need to stop saying like so much. It annoys me.
White people.
Trevor The Trevor Ariza, he only played 23 minutes because of the five fouls.
Yep.
So that, you want to see how they do. Less Gerald Green, more Trevor Ariza can definitely help them. The role players need to make more threes. Ariza was 1 of 5. Tucker was 0 of 2. Mamute was 0 for 6, missed 3 layups, missed both of his 3-point attempts. Those fringe players have to be better. Chris Paul needs to play better. His stat line was bumped up a little bit with some garbage time points. I believe he was 5 of, 14 at one point, going into the last two minutes of that game, and then his line looked a lot prettier because he got 3 cheap buckets late. So that I hope we'll see if they can win tonight. You think they can take this game and we can get an interesting game 3?
I'm not watching it. I think I'm done watching the Warriors. I think I'm they're not entertaining to me.
If the Rockets win this game, will you tune in for game 3?
Depends on how they win.
So they have to blow them out for you to care.
Yeah. If they win by 10, I'll watch. I think that's fair. They win by 1, and I see on the time, Golden State looked like they were battling with complacency, I'm not watching game 3.
Okay, what happens if it's a close game, but it's both teams playing at a high level and the Rockets win?
Oh, I could watch game 3 then.
So you don't want it, you won't watch it if just the Warriors half-assing it and not caring.
Basically, my interest in the Warriors, I haven't watched an entire Warriors game the whole year. But, in the playoffs, I watched some of game 1 against the Pels. I watched some of game 1 against the Rockets. I'm at the point where it's not fun. Nothing about it is fun. What made the Warriors fun to begin with was Steph doing supernova shit on a regular basis. He doesn't do that anymore because he doesn't have to. Durant's game has never entertained me. The rest of them are just whatever they're there. I like Draymond's game. I like the muck it up stuff, but they're just not fun. I think the series is over in 5 at most. And then, watching the finals is utterly pointless. I don't even care which one of them make it. It's utterly pointless, which is sad, but it's here we are. But the Rockets, if they can get Ariza out there more, their defense just needs to be more disciplined. But that was their biggest problem in the game.
Gifting, it's going to hurt your defense when you probably plan on having Ariza play 35 minutes and Jeff Green 8. And you end up Gerald Green 8, and you end up with Gerald Green playing 17 and Ariza 23. There is a correlation to their defense not being as good with those.
Yeah, but minutes. Some of the mistakes were made by the guys who they claim are good defenders, though. There are a lot of mistakes from PJ Tucker and what's his name? Mbamute, and there are several defensive mistakes by those guys.
Yeah, it's really hard to defend a team with. This is basically what it is. You have a guy who you need to guard when he crosses half court. You have two of probably the 10 most gifted scorers in NBA history. You can score any way they want, and then you're
3 of the top 5 best shooters.
And then you're adding a Reggie Miller, Ray Allen type shooter to those guys with one of the best passing big men in the history of the sport.
Yeah, it's not fun, but also, with Kevin Durant, they don't have anybody who really has an answer for him. I mean, nobody has an answer for him. But, they need to do better work before he gets the basketball. I'm not sure how they could deny. I mean, you could rough him up, try to rough him up. I mean, see what the refs will allow you to get away with.
Kind of
if
play.
If you're keep letting him catch the ball, you're going to keep fucking scoring.
Kind of play like the Heat did against the Sixers.
Yes, muck it up. Or even the Cavs against the Warriors in the 16 finals. They did a whole hell of a lot of grabbing and clutching and pushing and chucking off the ball, and the referees let it slide. I don't know if the refs will let it slide, but you got to find out.
Yeah,
Kevin Durant was entirely too comfortable. You just come, catch the ball, two dribbles, 15-footer. Like, it's just way too comfortable. Like, he has to be uncomfortable if you're going to do any type of, have any type of success against him. Like, Tony Allen was the, was pretty much the most successful Durant defender as far as what I've seen in the playoffs. And he did a whole lot denying him the basketball.
Were there any 37.1 assist KD jokes, or do we only do that for certain players?
Who define certain players.
You know who.
No, I don't. I'm legitimately asking who.
Like when Carmelo called, when Carmelo scored 60, everyone made fun of him because he didn't have an assist or something like that.
Just don't follow stupid people.
I don't. That's why I deleted my Twitter.
Don't listen to stupid people. Whatever. Like, yeah, if you're going to make fun of somebody for having one assist in a 60-point game, you're just a bozo. No other way to
And we found the way to get Kev to defend Carmelo Anthony.
I'm not defending him. That's not defending him. That's just calling somebody a bozo for saying bozo shit. There you go. That's my spin on it. Yeah.
Do we have anything else left here? Did we hit everything?
No, we got everything.
They're making Michigan play Villanova again next year. I don't approve of this.
But Michigan's a top five program, aren't they? So what's the problem?
They are. But yes, I don't want to relive fucking that stupid white boy making 85 threes.
Top five program with no championships. Imagine.
That's not true.
Imagine.
They have championships, idiot.
No recent championships, bozo. You know what I mean?
What's your definition for recent?
When was the last time they won one?
They've won in my lifetime.
When was the last time they won one?
They won it. It started with it had the numbers 19 in it.
Exactly. They haven't won one recently, but they're a top five program somehow. Wow, the standard is really low.
And that's the end of the Stop Lying About Fitz podcast.